Mama, if you're like hanging out,
you
probably want to put it on me, brother.
I won't let nothing.
There's a story of an old sister who would come to church every Sunday. It was pain aching in her body. She would struggle from the back of the church all the way to the front pew, sometimes with tears streaming from her eyes. And one day, one of those young sisters got beside her sister, and she told that old sister, "Sister, if you're in so much pain, why don't you just turn around and just stay home sometime?" That old sister just held her Bible close and said these words.
As I read the stories of old, and I look at old man Joe, she lost everything that he had in just one day. Now can't you see him as he spoke with his wife, and she said, "You ought to curse your God and die." I can imagine with tears in his eyes, I can hear Joe say, "I won't let
nothing
turn me around. Though he slay me, I'm still gonna trust the Lord. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain. See, this is what I've learned. You see, when time in life gets hard, that's when you ought to fall down and worship God. So I won't let nothing.
Said, before I take it back, I'll add more.
What about those Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king said, "Better bow down before that image"? That day, yeah, yeah. Well, those boys were scared of the fire. Hey, they looked the king dead in the eyes, with no fear.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Morning Words of Encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you, and we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of Central Church of Christ located in Smyrna, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. Today's words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Ben Griffin. We kindly ask that you stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Griffin, you are on the air.
Good morning, and thank you for such a warm welcome, and certainly this is the day the Lord has made, and we are to rejoice and to be glad in it. This lesson takes my mind back, and chances are it would take yours as well, to the time when we were kids. Coming up in the country, so to speak, we had to make fun, find fun. We couldn't afford to go anywhere outside of our neighborhood during these times. So we played marbles, we played tag, we played hide and seek, we played dodgeball, we'd do all kind of little things. We'll make toys, even make horses and everything. We had fun coming up as kids. But there's one thing that when we was doing foot race, that's always been, always would be an older kid or a bigger kid and larger kid and much faster kid, and we will always know that they wanted to show off their skills and how swift they were. And so they would make a notion to where, I tell you what, I'll give you a head start and I'll give you five steps, five paces ahead of me. That way you'll be equal because my legs are longer, I'm older, taller, and I'm faster. And so that means that to a degree, you are getting the advantage. In that case, you're putting on an even keel. Coaches and professional football and college basketball and all kind of sports, they go to these opportunity meetings and they bid for home court advantage or home field advantage. If you are playing on your own basketball court or playing in your own stadium, you felt that you had an advantage, even though you were the underdog. You felt by having a home court advantage and a home field advantage, you had a chance to win the game or to win the race or whatever case may be. We call that the advantage. And so people seek after those opportunities so they can feel as though they get an advantage. You know, it's also used in a negative connotation too. It comes to how we treat other people. And there have been cases where we would say, don't take the advantage of that girl or don't take the advantage of that young man. In other words, don't impose undue criticism. Don't use them, don't abuse them because you're smarter, you're faster. They are novices and you are not. And so even in business transactions, we find that there's business dealings that later on said that, yes, he took advantage of you by selling you that car for that amount. He knew you didn't know about business and buying and selling cars, so he took advantage of you. So I think we understand this word advantage and how you use it so in different ways and how we can obtain the advantage and get the advantage or take the advantage. Our lesson this morning is just the opposite. Give others the advantage. That means give others a head start. Give others a leg up. Give others the updated information as to how the business wind is blowing. In other words, if anyone is going to be in last place, make sure that there's an equal race, fairness is taking place. Well, you know they don't know what they're doing, what they're getting into, but you take their money anyway. Gamblers are like this, knowing that this is a rookie card player. Well, perhaps the rookie shouldn't have gotten in the game. But even though he's a rookie, there are those who don't seem to care about that. You're sitting at the table, you're in the game, you stand to lose, you stand to win. So they don't have any feeling, any sympathy for the rookie or the novice, and so they're taken advantage of. We find that Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy and make my joy complete, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. See, verse 4 and verse 3 really is the key. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So if you're going to enter into any kind of competition or verbal altercation, if there's going to be any shouting and screaming, let it not be you, but let the other have the advantage. In other words, if you knew that this person was ignorant to the thing that y'all are discussing or engaging in, allow them to make the first move. You find that in the game of chess. If you're familiar with it, oftentimes the one who makes the first move could possibly lose. Or in some theories, the one who makes the last move could possibly lose. But at any rate, you knowing that this person is not an experienced chess player. So it is in the mind of a veteran chess player to give the neophyte the advantage. Paul said in verse 4, let not every man think on his own things, but also every man on the things of others. We must give the other person first place. There's this idea of when we look at positioning ourselves, I mean, first among equals, they so call it. For instance, give an example of first among equals. Jesus chose out of his 70 disciples, he chose 12. All the disciples are equally loved of the Lord, but Jesus handpicked 12. And out of that 12, even though they're all equally apostles in the eyesight of Christ, there was three of them that seemed to stand out, Peter, James, and John. But out of that three, even though they're all equal, one stood out, and that was Peter. He became the spokesperson for the 70. Even though he was one of the 12, one of the three, he also became the one. And we find that Paul, no doubt, was one chosen out of season. But nevertheless, he's writing now and that there's a certain disposition about all of us that we need to strive to allow the other person to shine above ourselves. This is called humility. This is called acquiescence. This is called letting the other person win. You know, there's when we were coming up as kids, and we knew we had the advantage over the shorter leg person, the slower person who's kind of a little fatty side, we would let them win a race in running. So they'll go home that day thinking that, yeah, I outran so-and-so, I beat him. When you knew they couldn't, you gave them the advantage. And Paul says, when we're talking about in an altercation with your brother in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, he says, let yourself be defrauded. Let it appear or let it be as though you lost when in essence you won. This is a very hard thing to do But here's the Christian faith saying, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. If it ends up, if you see where it's headed, it's going to be where it's going to be a terrible outcome, just concede. Allow the other person to win for the moment. Let yourself be the loser. Take the high road, some say. But there are those who can't do this. They're in it to win it at all costs. But then that is not the Christian spirit. Because, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. I know when you're going to apply for a job and your friend is going to apply for the same job, you're in a business situation, you're going to go in there and down talk yourself or say something to disqualify yourself in order that the other person would get the job. That's an extreme and isolated circumstance. But what if you did that? What if you and your friend applied for the same job and you got to interview and now it's between you and her or him and yourself and you felt that I got a better chance of getting another job? Would you acquiesce? Would you back down and disqualify yourself somehow to allow the other person to get the job? When you know they needed it, and you know you needed it, but you can get another job before they could, perhaps. You felt that confidence, or you had that much trust in God, and he would help you and a lot of others to get the job. Christianity does this to us. It puts us in circumstances that challenges us to be who we really are at times. And so I want to encourage you today that make your day great by giving someone else the advantage. You know, coming to a four-way stop, and this is a good time to really think this through. You were there just a second ahead of the person, but not just for safety persons, out of courtesy, get the other person advantage. Let them go, wave them through so they'll feel as though you are a courteous and nice and kind person. And that is what Paul is trying to say. Let us be nice to one another, but not only that, let us be nicer to one another. If I give you a 10, you go out your way to give me 10 back or give me 20. And in reverse the same. Look not every man on your own thing, but every man also on the things of others. We are not to be in a dog-eat-dog, all about me first and you last society. And that's where we are. The uniqueness of the Christian faith challenges us to give the other person the advantage. May God bless you and may he keep you in the hub of our hand as this be our prayer on this day. Merciful God, we're so thankful and so privileged to be able to call you our God. Be with us in such a special way. We realize there's a challenging society. It's every man for himself and God for us all. That's the mindset. That's the mentality, that's the way. But because we have you as our leader, our guide, our mentor, our coach, we ask that you continue to allow us to think, meditate, slow down, and realize, are we taking advantage when we don't have to take the advantage? Or are we willing to give up a little bit more space and time to make the other person's day shiny and bright? Are we willing to go the extra mile to let the person know that they have someone to help them in a time of need? Or are we like the rest of the world? Me first, you last. Heads I tell, heads I win, tails you lose, to kind of thinking. Let us be merciful and kind, long-suffering, and let us esteem others. Let us put others above ourselves. Heavenly Father, help us to be this way. Because that's how you was. You was rich and you became poor for our sake. You gave us the advantage. You died on the cross that we might live. You gave us the advantage. Allow us to go in today having the same mindset. And that's why the word says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. He gave the world the advantage. How many will we give the advantage on this day? May God bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.